39 while we're standing. Appreciate the good spirit of worship. Amen. I'm going to skip around just a little bit. Thank the Lord. Isn't God good? I'm going to begin with verse number 5, picking up with the story of Joseph after he gets down to Egypt, finds himself in favor because of his spirit, his good spirit. In verse number 5, it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer of his house, speaking of Potiphar's house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Could I just interject something? I have found that when you have an employer that treats the people of God right, God blesses them. I have seen that so many times. Somebody living for God, and they allow them to go to church, and they're just good to them. God blesses them, and I've seen when they don't do that, the favor of God just leaves the business. I've seen it before, and I don't know altogether what happened afterwards, but here, while he was there, the Bible says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. He just let Joseph run it all. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Could I tell you that Joseph did not have a Bible? There was no Bible. But he knew that this was wicked. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into his house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass that when she saw that he had left the garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice, and it came to pass that when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment beside her until his Lord came home. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read on, but you get the story. She lied about him, and he believed his wife. She was probably a pretty good liar. And he believed his wife, and so he had Joseph cast into a prison, and he was there for quite some time. Amen. And I'm just going to skip down to verse number, or chapter number 41 and verse number 1. And just reading a portion of it. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us, can we? Precious Savior, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, we're asking, Lord God, your blessing, your anointing. Precious Savior, help us, Lord Jesus, to receive your word today. In Jesus' name, Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And I certainly do want to speak what I feel the Lord has given me today. I want to talk a little bit about Joseph here. And I'm going to start off, I don't even know what to title this. I really don't. Temptation comes in many different forms. There's a lot of different types of temptation because there's a lot of different types of sin. And when is it that we're tempted? Anybody know a passage? And enticed. James, chapter number 1. And let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desires, and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so, all of us are tempted because of things that are resident within our hearts, our own desires, right? And so that's why we need to crucify the flesh with its affections, its desires and lust, all right? We need to crucify that. Where do we find these desires? Well, they're in our flesh. And if we follow our flesh, walk in the flesh rather than the spirit, that we are at enmity with God, the Bible says, right? And so we need to make sure that we walk in the spirit so that we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, all of us, everyone here has to contend with that. And it's going to be that way till Jesus comes. All right? And if you're not contending with it, that means you're failing. That means you're sinning. That means you've just given up. But if, well, it could mean something else. It could mean that you are not recognizing the fact that you're not contending. That you're not trying. And, you see, because temptation has many forms. We might be doing pretty good in certain departments of not sinning. But in other departments that are a little trickier, that are a little more vague, harder for a pastor to put his finger on. You know, if somebody doesn't pay their tithes, I can kind of figure out they're not paying their tithes. If somebody decides to start dressing worldly, I'll probably end up figuring it out. Somebody starts missing church, I'll notice. Somebody decides to go on a drinking binge. All right? I'll probably figure it out before too long. All right? But how do we measure variance and strife and jealousy and things like that. How do we say you're sinning? Because it might seem a little objective, or subjective rather. So, you know, I can't, you know, there's something wrong, but I can't quite tell you exactly what it is. But, you know, the Holy Ghost will help you determine whether or not somebody's got a right spirit. But identifying what that problem is sometimes a little more difficult. Hello? Does this make sense? And so, temptation comes in many forms. Now, in Joseph's case here in Genesis chapter number 39, again, and Joseph did not have a Bible. The Word of God had not yet been written down on tables of stone, parchment, or anything else. Moses would be sometime in the future. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy were there. And so this was written many years after Joseph. But he was able to tell what sin was. He had a good spirit. Now, I want you to remember something. This wasn't the first time he'd been lied on. Okay? His brothers gave him some problems. And then they decided, well, we're going to go ahead and get rid of this guy. And they desired to kill him. Some of them wanted to kill their little brother because he seemed to be favored. There's sometimes that folks, just because someone else is favored, all kinds of things begin to happen in their spirit. Because so-and-so got the biggest baked potato at the dinner table, you know. It could be something stupid. And so we have it out for them. See stuff like this at schoolyards, you know, just dumb little things. We see it happen in families, but there's some folks that never grew out of it. And could I tell you why they never grow out of it? It's because it's part of human nature. It's part of what we have to crucify. And so the Bible tells us, by the way, in the New Testament, that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. It tells us that in the book of Hebrews. But if you go to the Genesis account, they desired to sell him into slavery, but then there's a group of Midianites that start coming by, and they find this guy down in the ditch. And they thought, hey, we could fetch a price for him. And so they pulled him out of the ditch, and they sold him to the Amalekites. And if I have my ites correct, I think I do. And then the brothers came. The one brother, I think it was Simeon, he tried to work it out to where, hey, they're not going to kill him. How about we sell him? And so they went to pull him out of the ditch and to sell him, and he wasn't there. You see, in God's eyes, they did it. It's recorded in His Word that they sold him into slavery, but God didn't want them to get the money. They're just as guilty as the folks that pulled them out. All right? But somebody else got the money. And so they didn't know what happened to him. They found his coat, decided, let's tear it up, dip it in some blood, and we'll tell Dad a big, tall story. And weep fake tears. And have a little memorial service. And we don't have that rascal anymore to deal with. And so this wasn't the first time he'd been done wrong. But he was done wrong here in Genesis number 39. But he maintained his integrity. Well, she came day by day, the Bible says. He was just trying to do his job. He had to be in the house. Shouldn't have been in there all by himself with her. All right. And I think that maybe she tried to arrange it that way. Send this guy out, send that guy out, send this guy out, send that guy out. And so there she grabbed him by the coat. And he did the right thing. He fled. And left his coat there with her. Well, she thought, well, I'm going to use this and I'm going to sail this. I don't think there was much of a trial. I don't think that, I just think this is what that rascal did. I gave him all this stuff. Now, I have a feeling that the blessings of the Lord that were upon that house started fading pretty quickly. But he was there in prison for 2 years. 2 years. And then Joseph gets called up because while he was in prison, there was two men that had dreams. And because of the favor of God upon him, the Spirit of God upon him, he understood that their dreams were speaking of something, and he gave them an interpretation, and it came to pass exactly as he said, both to the Pharaoh, a butler, and a baker. And the baker ended up losing his life, as was prophesied of, and the butler, the cupbearer, was restored to his place. And Joseph said, hey, remember me. All right, when you go out, remember me. Say a good word for me. But the man forgot. He got busy doing other things. And so Joseph is forgotten for 2 years. You know, 2 years when you're in prison is a pretty long time. 2 years when you're in prison falsely accused. Having time to think about it. I know some things that happen in prison, folks plan revenge. Folks plan what I'm going to do. And that type of thing happens. It really does. And some plan their escape and then plan revenge. Well, after 2 years, Pharaoh dreamed a dream, didn't understand the dream, and then the butler said, ha ha. I remember this guy that could interpret dreams. They called him out, cleaned him all up, brought him there before Pharaoh, and you know the story. He was able to tell him the dream, give him the interpretation. And he was trying to figure out, and then he told him what needs to be done. And he was trying to think, Pharaoh was trying to think, all right, well, I need somebody that's really sharp to put in charge of all this. And then it occurred to him, this guy's pretty sharp. I'll make him in charge. And so all of a sudden, Joseph is right at the very top of the game. Joseph is the man with power. Joseph has a lot more power than Potiphar. A lot more power. He's the number two man in Egypt. Before we go on, I'd like to draw your attention to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Very familiar passage. We'll start with the one on the back wall right there. This I say then, verse number 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. This is, by the way, talking about you and me. It's talking about us, all right? Your flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is contrary to your flesh. That's why you need to walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against spirit, spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, I could go to Romans chapter number 5 and tell you that you can do the things that you want to do, but you have to walk in the Spirit. All right? And Romans chapter number 7, verse 15 on, is really up until the last verse, is talking about somebody that is trying to live for God in the flesh. And they're miserable. And they cannot please God. And they are. They're miserable. They're miserable trying to live for God. And they're frustrated. But you can live for God. But you have to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. And then he said, but, after he said, you know, you can't do the things he would, he said, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he gets into really the crux of the matter. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they show. Now some things show visibly. Somebody goes out and gets drunk, we can tell they're drunk. Some lady goes, cuts her hair. When the Bible says keep it long, we can tell. All right? Somebody starts putting on the wrong clothes. Somebody, swear words come out of your mouth. Okay? We can tell something's going on here, right? Some things are manifest, but hard to describe. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Pretty well, we can figure that out. Fornication, which is all moral uncleanness. That's pornography. That's all kinds of stuff. Okay? It's the word is pornea, and it means a lot of stuff. All right? Just a lot of moral uncleanness. Uncleanness is mentioned by itself. Lasciviousness, which is moral impurity in the mind. Dwelling on these things. Idolatry. Idolatry is more than just bowing down to a little idol. It's putting anything really ahead of God. It really is. And football games and things like that, that really is idolatry. It was preached this past Sunday. I believe that. I believe that that is American idolatry. Now, I've been to Hawaii, to the Big Island, and saw where they put out, these are Americans doing this, put out drink and meal offerings to the goddess Pele and stuff like this. This happens in America. All right? There's all kinds of animal sacrifices that happens here in the United States. Indian tribes are full of this. You can see it in prisons because they have to allow them to do their rites and stuff like that. So you see these little burning, you go to prison yards and you'll see these little burning piles and stuff like that it's idolatry. All right. But there's a lot more idolatry than that going on. Witchcraft. That happens. And as a matter of fact, the word witchcraft there comes from a Greek word, pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy. And can I tell you that drugs, including some pharmaceutical drugs, will open up a world into spiritual darkness. And so not just illicit, which means illegal drugs, but other kinds of drugs that can alter your mind. These psychotropic drugs, that antidepressants and things to that nature, unless there is a real brain injury type of medical condition, and then even then, very rare. These things are given out like candy, all right? They're given to little kids, all right? Little boy's not ADHD, he's a little boy. Hello. And so we need to be careful. but witchcraft, hatred. I can tell when somebody's not dressing right, but hatred. Hatred manifests itself in a lot of different ways. He's writing to the church. These are the works of the flesh, your flesh and my flesh. It's important that we love things, and it's important that we hate things. I'm going to say that again. It's important that we love things, important that we hate things. David said, therefore I hate every false way. We need to hate falsehoods, hate lies. All right? God hates some things. He hates spirits, human spirits that are contrary. He hates that. He hates a proud look, the Bible says. Hates it. And but hatred, it's talking about here, obviously, hating things that you ought not to hate. Hating people. And I've been around long enough to where I know that you can hate people that are in the church and be Jesus' name baptized and speak in tongues. And we need to be careful. Hatred. Bible speaks of speaking evil against your brother, saying things, etc. And it equates it to hatred. It really does. Variance. Variance in verse number 20 is quarreling, strife, arguing, pouting. All right? That is a work of the flesh. The reason I'm taking a little time here is because I want us to identify it. I'd like us to take a little spotlight, and because it tries to hide. You see, these other things, you can't hide them. Okay? But these things, you can say that your motive was something else and sidestep, and it's kind of like pinning it down is kind of like getting the last olive out of the dish. It just keeps moving around on you. And then, you know, it's just like, you know, you feel like just reaching down with both hands, grab it, and then stick it in, you know. Get it. All right. And so things like this are harder to put your finger on. And I want us to understand that we're dealing with the affections and the desires and the lusts of the flesh. These are things that we are tempted with. These are things that are sin. These are things that will keep you away from heaven and send you to hell. Hatred. Variance. These are not little things. These are important things. As a matter of fact, I have found this. I had some teaching a long, long time ago, and I've taught this in the past, and I probably ought to teach on it again. But every time that we see some kind of an external manifestation of, you know, somebody just, hey, man, they really messed up. They did this. Those external manifestations really are the surface problem that we see, but there's a root cause. And the root cause is this, in every case, an improper relationship with God. You're not right with God. And so when we're dealing with situations like hatred and variance, these are things that are sins. And we need to be careful. Not only careful, we need to repent. You see, because as much as a pastor would like to get everything right to where everybody is on the same page and we've got brotherly love and it continues and we've got none of this stuff going on, okay? I can't crucify your flesh. There have been times I've wanted to. I'll be honest. Hello, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, most of you are smiling. Praise God. But you need to do that. I need to do that. We need to repent of attitudes that are wrong. Spirits that are wrong. Amen. In Matthew chapter number, and I'll come back to this. In Matthew chapter number 23, in verse number 23, this is something that really, I had part of this verse stuck out to me in a way that it never has before, where Jesus was teaching about, and he was describing those scribes and Pharisees whose righteousness was outward. They looked right. But those little things that are hard to pin down are the things they really had problems with. And he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith." When he's speaking of judgment, he's talking about righteous judgment, making a right judgment, equity in your dealings, mercy. We all want mercy, but a lot of folks don't want to extend mercy. We're like that guy that he was shown mercy for the great, actually little debt that he owed. But when, actually, no, for the great debt he owed, the great debt he owed. But when somebody owed him a little debt, he was exacting and he was unforgiving. God hates that. He really does. Mercy and faith. He said, "These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." What really stuck out to me was he said, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you pay the tithe of the mint and anise and cumin, but you have omitted. I looked that up. It means you just outright dismissed it. It's just, hey, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. But the matters of the heart matter. And what Jesus was saying is the matters of the heart, because you have the external stuff looking okay. The matters of the heart you just dismissed. Well, that applies to him. That applies to her. That applies to them. And it does. But it also applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to us. And we cannot get by and be pleasing to God and go to heaven and dismiss the weightier matters. I can't put my finger on some things, but there's some things that I have trouble with in human spirits. I am not perfect. None of us are perfect. I need mercy. You need mercy. We all need mercy. But we really need to extend mercy to others. We need to extend love one to another. We need to guard our tongue and guard our thoughts and guard our heart. Hello? Because these are the weightier matters. The matters of the heart are the important matters. The weightier matters are the heart matters. And so we cannot just dismiss that and think that that applies to somebody else. It's real easy to go ahead and apply the preaching and teaching of the Word of God to somebody else. And just take it like we're taking it with a pitchfork and just, oh, that's for him. That's for her. Hello. We need the Word of God. We need to get this. We need to have these weightier matters tried in our own balance. We really do. We need to examine ourselves, as it was mentioned in one of the epistles, and see whether we be in the faith. We might be surprised to find how far away we really are. Reading a lot in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I've been there for a long time. And we take a look at this penetrating look that the Lord gives to these churches. And he says, I know your works and your patience and this and that. But I have somewhat against you. Because you allow this or you do this. All right? You see, he sees all those things. It's hard for me to see. Because I cannot look upon the heart. God has to reveal something specific to me. Now, he has revealed some things that are maybe not specific, one of those things that are hard to nail down, but God can nail it down. His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and divide the bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, and this is where it gets trouble, and the intents of the heart. See, I can't figure out your intent, but God sees it. And you may not be able to figure out your intent. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. And who can know it? I'll tell you who can know it. The Spirit can know it. That's why you ask God to illuminate some things. That's why the Word of God is quick and powerful. You know what the Word of God does when it's preached and what it's taught and what it's doing right now? It is discerning the thoughts and intents of your heart. And God, during the preaching of the Word of God, reveals some things about yourself to yourself. And you can sit there and you can just kind of resist it. But God will hold you accountable. I believe that. I believe that we need to get these weightier matters right. We need to get the Word of God in our hearts to the place where it will change our hearts. Hatred, variance, quarreling, strife, all these things. Emulations, seditions, heresies, envyings. How do you put your finger on that? Revelings. And such like, which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things, I've talked about matters of the heart, I've talked about envy, I've talked about hatred, I've talked about quarreling, I've talked about pouting, They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can be baptized in Jesus' name 20 times. Hello. We need to get it right. We need to have it right. We need our hearts right. Hallelujah. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. This is the trickery of the devil. Making you think that you're okay when you're not okay. Making you think that just keeping the external things is all that really matters. That's not all that really matters. Matter of fact, that is the least important. It's important, but it's the least important. The weightier matters are the matters of the heart. Jesus said, hey, cleanse the inside of the cup and platter first, so that the outside can really be clean. Don't just cleanse the outside. Put on a happy face. When you're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit, you say, well, I'm not sinning. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing this. Yes, you are sinning. You might not be doing this and that, but if you've got hatred and variance and all these things, you're sinning. Sinning. That makes you a sinner. Worship the Lord for a moment. Precious Savior, precious Savior, precious Savior, precious Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Be our help, Jesus. Be our help, God. Precious God, precious God, precious God. Glory to your name. He said, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he contrasts and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, if you're walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifest. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you look up the word love, it's really the kind of love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13. It thinketh no evil. Right? Enjoy. I'm not talking about a pretended joy, a put-on joy. I'm talking about real joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost will let you put up with a lot. Now let me tell you something. As a pastor, I need to be long-suffering. I really do. I would like to see everybody just come along, be super spiritual, win 1,000 souls, you know, pay 20% tithes. Sow winners, love everybody. All right. I love that. I've been real long-suffering. And and some of the folks that need the most long suffering are the least long suffering themselves. And we need to give folks a break. We need to love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. Long suffering, gentleness. Not forwardness, not in-your-faceness, not having to have your wayness. Gentleness. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. Faith. Literally the word is faithfulness. Many translations have faithfulness there. Meekness.
meekness.
Meekness is not weakness. Meekness, you could do something, but won't. Could react, but won't. Could get angry, but won't. Because it goes with temperance, which is self-control. And you recognize that it's not going to help, but it is going to hinder. Meekness is the fruit of the Spirit. We need to, I'll tell you what. What would make me happy is if everybody here would look at the fruit of the Spirit and say, God, I want that in me. All of it. Completely. And pray and seek God and repent of some of these other things. And can I tell you that if you do that, that you will find the works of the flesh begin to disappear and the fruit of the Spirit begins to become bountiful in your life. Praise the Lord. Because can I tell you that some of the fruit of the Spirit leads to the others. If you exercise meekness and temperance and gentleness and goodness, well, you'll end up finding the love and the joy and the peace comes right with it. And you find that these other things begin to disappear. It begins with a real desire. I want to please God. God's been good to me. Praise the Lord. God's been good to me. Amen. He goes on. He said, against such there is no law. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. All these things. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, needing to be recognized and all this stuff, needing to take the credit, pride, but provoking one another. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And again, he ends with those thoughts, really, of the weightier matters. And then he goes on, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, not think you're spiritual, but really are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. Bible says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience. God, give me patience. Hurry, God. Patience, brotherly kindness. It says if you add these things, do these things, you'll never fall. But if you don't do these things, I do fear because we can omit the weightier matters. Feel like that doesn't really apply to me. I'm okay. You're not okay. Hello. We need to have our attitudes, our spirits right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Genesis 41, Pharaoh has a dream. Remember I mentioned temptation comes in many forms. Let's have our musicians come in if we could stand. Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph is remembered. They call him before Pharaoh. He interprets the dream. Pharaoh likes what he sees in Joseph. Because of his good spirit and his wisdom, places him number two in the most powerful kingdom in the world. He is number two. Potiphar, in terms of being on the food chain, is way down there someplace. Potiphar's wife is lower. It would have been easy for him to figure out a way to retaliate. He could have been scheming for 2 years. Oh, I'm going to get back if I can get back. I was lied on. But without the Holy Ghost, he still had a good spirit. What was he doing? He was crucifying his affections and lust. And he didn't have the Holy Ghost. That would have been a real temptation. What could I do now that I have all this power? You know what? Folks that we end up putting down, who you don't know, that they may be the very person that you need someday. They may be your only source of help. I don't find him retaliating. And then his brothers come. And they're even lower down the food chain. And he does test their spirit. Wants to see what happens when I take one of them and they bring Benjamin. I want to see if my little brother Benjamin's okay. And then he piles 12 times the food on Benjamin's plate. 5? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Piles it up. Watches the reaction. Doesn't see. You know, somewhere along the line they learned. They didn't have that envy. They didn't have those wrong spirits. And Joseph forgave. Joseph let down his front, spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue, said, "It's me." They were fearful. But he wept, hugged their neck. Hello. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to come pray. Hallelujah. Would you talk to the Lord? Would you take the time? God, need to be right, Jesus. Help me not to harbor.
Change me, Lord. Don't let
these things in my life, Jesus. Come on, come on. Reach out to the Lord and talk to Him. Be real with Him.